Let's give the Lord a praise. Now let's give the Lord a praise. And let's give the Lord a praise. Do you love Him? Do you trust Him? That if you want to see the glory of the Lord, you just got to praise Him. That's all you need to do to see His glory is to praise Him. Not because we say praise Him, but because you got a praise in your heart. You got a joy in your spirit. You got a pep in your step. So you can praise Him. Now I know we praise Him in our house, and we praise Him in our car, and we praise Him wherever we are. And that's good for individual praise. But today is a day that we come together so that all of the individual praises are one praise. All of your individual way that you praise when you're by yourself, it's different than when you come into the house of the Lord. Now all your individual praise is brought together and we become one praise. So now let's praise the Lord. Getting together and worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is a good God. Brother Kathleen, He's so good till I get numb. He's so good I don't even know how to praise Him. I just get all numb. I don't know what to do. Because He's so good, Sister Arlene. He's gooder than good. He's better than good. Ah, hallelujah. He's the real deal. Ah, glory to God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The Lord is in control, and I give honor to the Spirit of God and give honor to our bishops and our leaders and everybody. It's been a long time since I stood behind the podium, but I was still preaching everywhere I went. Because God is so good. He has done so much for me. I just can't tell it. It's impossible to tell it. All I could do is just walk and smile and laugh and encourage everybody to lift up the name of Jesus and do like my mom say, just love Jesus. Just love Jesus. It does something to you. You can't explain it. But you know, the only way people can know that He's done something for you is because of your action. And how you move and how you talk and how you walk and how you rejoice and how you smile. And you just feel so good. People will wonder, what's wrong with her? And then they ask you what He said, I'm just so happy with the Lord. I'm so happy in Jesus. I don't know what to do. I don't have no sad days. No way. You know why? Jesus knows all about my struggles. And He will guide until the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly. You know anybody else? No, not one. No. I say it again that Jesus, He already knows all about your struggles. He knows what you're struggling with. And He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. He will guide until the day is done. There's not a friend. Not my husband, not my wife, not my children. No, there's not a friend. No, not one. No. The song says, there's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not 1 minute. No. So what you worrying about? What you down about? Hey, no. No night so dark but his love. No night so dark that his love can. No, not one. Everywhere you go. No. Because my God, Jesus knows all about your struggles. He's gonna guide you all the way to the end. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, there's not a friend like the Lord. No, not one. No, not two. Your aches, your haves, and your have not. Oh, and he will. Yes, he's gonna guide you. Hallelujah. You can't lose. You can't lose. You can't lose. He already know what you're struggling with. He already know where your pain is. He already know where your sorrows is. He know what you have and what you don't have. He know what you want and need. He know how long you've been suffering. He know how long you've been struggling. You don't think nobody know? And it's your secret? Jesus knows. And he want to guide us. He know the pains and the aches. And he know all about your hurts. But you see, when you come to the house of God, you come with an empty bucket. You come to a full pitcher. And you lift it up and Jesus pours out in your spirit. Oh my God. I know we know about this God. But we want to know this God. So when we walk and talk, oh, we could just be assured.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
We will be assured. Oh, my God. Oh, he gave me so much. I don't know which way he want to go, but you know, I just let him have his way and I have a time. I always ask him for a certain time. And I don't want to go over that time. And it's not me, it's him. Because we say ask, you have not, because you ask not. Yes. So if you want to do his work in a certain time, he'll do that for you. See, he's a kindred spirit God. He understands. He knows all about every one of y'all out there. He know a lot of y'all don't like to stay in church too long. He know all about y'all. But he want y'all to get something too before you leave. So he'll fix it up just right for the early leavers. He know how to do that real good. He knows some are sleepy, so he want to give you something before you go to sleep. So you ask God for a certain time, Lord. A time when the sleepers are awake and the early leavers ain't ready to go. He's just a pacific, straight, right forward God. He my friend. He your friend? He your real friend? You tell him everything? You sure? You might as well. He know anyway. You ain't hiding nothing from the Lord. I think the brother said last Sunday, or the sister, God see better in the night than he do in the day. In the darkness. Because you know what? There's no darkness in him at all. So what we had, even down in our hearts, all the stuff we got in here that we don't want to talk about or we don't want to show out, he know that too. And he want to fix it for you. The song said, let Jesus fix it for you. He knows just what to do. So whenever you pray, whenever you pray, be real. Be honest. Be truthful. Don't hide nothing. Because you can't hide nothing from God. Hide it from everybody else. But my God, when you kneel down and pray, tell the Lord the truth. Lord, I ain't living right, you know. I'm lifting my hand in prayer, but I ain't living right. Lord, you know I'm robbing you. They don't know. They think that's what I give, but I'm a robber, Lord. Please fix me. You got to call out for help. For the little thing, because you know we got to get to heaven, sisters. Brothers, we got to get to heaven. And you got to get to heaven right. And if you be honest with the Lord and tell him, Lord, I ain't doing right. Help! Lord, I ain't treating my husband right. Help! If you be real with God, he'll be real with you. I have found that to be true. Oh, glory be to God. I have a scripture here. And all the songs that we have sang this morning, nobody's greater. Thank God for the little dancer. She did her part. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. Let her rest. She did her part. Some of y'all ain't did your part yet, so you can't rest. She done danced and praised the Lord. She going to sleep. Let her rest. She did what she did for the Lord. She did what she was supposed to do for the Lord. She got up there and show y'all nobody was greater. So she fought to rest. Today is Women's Day. And the Lord moving my spirit on Women's Day. Talk about the women. Third Sunday, y'all got Man Day. You need to talk about men. Then you're on fourth Sunday, you got the church day, so talk about everybody. Talk to everybody. Third Sunday, yeah, first Sunday, talk to the young people. Tell them about the Lord and how they got to live right. How they got to do right. Because that's the only time they're going to get something. A lot of times in the home, these parents tell them nothing. So on first Sunday people, give it to the young people. Today I'm going to give it to the women. And on third Sunday, whoever be talking, talk to the men. And on fourth Sunday, talk to everybody. That sounds like order. Right. What you gonna call it Women's Day if you're talking about everybody else on Women's Day? Call it men though, and they talk about everybody else but men. You're talking on first Sunday, everybody but to your youth. God, I was up in Tallahassee for five weeks. And I'll tell you, I had a chance to sit down and listen to the Lord. Really listen. And that's why, see my topic right here? You know, they tell Rover, stop. When they have fire, he says, stop, drop, and roll. There's a purpose. And on last Sunday night, if you miss you Sunday morning worshipers, you got half of the breakfast, the dinner. You didn't get no dinner. You only got breakfast. But I tell you, dinner last Sunday night, dinner was so good. Oh, dinner was so good. I have not stopped eating. You know, I ate something and put it in a jar, and every day I took out a little bit. I had breakfast, lunch, and dinner off last Sunday message and last Sunday night. Last Sunday morning, the pastor preached 3-1. And I add to it, he said 3-1 and 1-3 and all three in us. And then she said, thank God for purpose. Thank God for purpose. Do you know what your purpose is on this earth? All that you're going through, that's why the Lord gave me that song. Jesus knows all about your struggles. He knows what you're struggling over. But it's a purpose. You're not just struggling to be struggling. You are struggling. He's allowing you to struggle to get you where you need to be. Purpose. Oh my God, those are the greatest messages out. I got a computer in my brains that I just opened that computer last Sunday and Sunday morning. And I mean, I took everything and I rehearsed it the whole week. And I said, Lord, you want me to say something on Sunday? I don't know. That need to have them two messages preached together. But thanks be unto God, today it's Women's Day, and He gave me to talk about a woman in the Bible. And He also gave me a small portion of the virtuous woman. But this woman, I don't know if I get to that woman, but this woman here. You see, women, we have a special purpose. We have a specific purpose, and the topic means that we need to just stop. You do not put one gas, fill your tank and drive all the way to California without stopping. See, the thing about it is, sisters, if you don't use wisdom and stop the car and get some gas, it's going to stop on its own. And then you're going to be embarrassed because you got to wave down some people, and the cars like to stop when it's dark and there ain't no gas station in sight. And so now you got to go wave down people to see if you can get somebody to get you to a gas station. And you don't know if you're waving at a murderer, a robber, a rapist. Because you didn't use wisdom and stop the car yourself. You know, you see the thing on E. And you want to still drive to California without stopping. You have to stop. Look at this. You have to stop. Am I stopping? You have to stop. You can't stop and keep walking. You have to stop. You have to look and see where you are. And how far the gas station is, or how far California is. You have to stop. You can't keep driving and trying to look at the map, because when you do stop, it might be in somebody's back. He's been talking to me about this, Brother John, for a long time. Tell my people to stop. Look at where you are. Look where you came from. And listen for Him to tell you where to go. Now, this is the sensible way to live in a life. Knowledge. Stop. Look. And listen for instruction. And this is spiritual. We gotta stop on this road that we say we own the glory. We have to stop. Pick up this book, real focusing on it. And then listen to what the master of the book is telling you. Because where I am, you're not. And where you are, I'm not. Right? Yes. So I have to stop and you have to stop. Because only you know where you are. And you know where you need to be going. And it's important for the book to tell us all where we're going, where we are, and how to get there. Yes. Anybody ever been to heaven? Anybody in here ever seen God? Anybody ever visit his home? So what we keep going for? We might be done, we might have supposed to turn a long time ago. And we done passed it so long, we just looking up here, up here, up here, up here. And he's saying, hey, Sister Alexis, turn. You ain't heard a thing. Didn't hear nothing. So he said, in order to hear clearly and understand, if you are truly and absolutely, I'll use all these words, and completely trust in the man you're trying to go live in his house. You're trying to live in his house. You're trying to be where he is. But you're not listening for none of his direction because you have your own. It can't happen. Now you see, there's a man, or there's another spirit that don't matter. You can keep running, don't even never stop. He don't care. He don't care. Run, 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 run. All of just keep running, running, run, and go on. Just keep going. Just he fanning you on. Go, 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 go. Keep going. Go keep. You see, the devil told his workers. Say the workers came back and said, I can't get those Christians to do nothing. I'm telling them. He said, they're not going to do nothing. You telling them? All you got to do is keep them busy. Just keep them busy, 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 busy all the time. Don't allow them to stop. And think. And listen to what the master is really saying. So you see, I'm going to say it again. Men and women, but be saying to the women today, because this is women ministering biblically. Women ministering biblically. And this is such a big thing for women to minister. Because if you, this scripture hooks you up with the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. This hooks you up. This Queen of Sheba was operating under the topic of a virtuous woman. Because she wanted to hear. She wanted to see. She wanted to know how to rule her country under the divine guidance of God. You know, you got to do a little sila so you can think about what's being said. Under the divine guidance of God. We can't keep going and think we are all right. Because the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto man. But the end of that way is the way of death. Don't ever think you got it all right. Amen. Don't ever think that. Because all you're doing is going step by step, day by day. You look into that word every time you make a step, you check the word. Every time you need to make a decision, check the word. Might not be a flowery sermon, but we got to learn this thing. We want to receive what God has for us. And we, the women of the body of Christ, as I said, we have a specific duty to God. Amen. The first person that got the message from the sepulcher to go to the brothers was a woman. Because she stuck around. See, women are stick around. She stuck around. And so God was able to give her a message. Go tell the brethren. And you know what she did? She stuck around. She saw the stone from the door. And after Peter and the other one went in and they saw that he was not there, They believed he wasn't there, but they left. They left. But the woman stayed at the sepulchre crying her little heart out. You know, women like to cry. Women cry easy, especially those born in May. May people cry at a heartbeat. But that woman, I don't know if she was born in May or not. But Lord have mercy. If they ain't as rowdy as a lion, they cries like a baby. If they ain't crying, they'll tear you up. But that woman stayed at the sepulcher and she was crying. And the Bible says that she stooped down and she looked. Now, when those men went in there, all they saw was the napkin and the wrap. But when the woman stooped down, Sister Lita, she looked in and she saw angels. She saw angels, two of them, in the sepulcher, and they were able to speak to her. Because she wanted to, she stopped, she looked, and she listened. And she listened and got a message. She got a message. What are you doing here? Looking for Jesus. He's not here. He is risen. And then when she went out and when she got up and turned around, not only did she see the angels, who talked to her? Who talked to that woman? Jesus himself talked to that woman and say, hey, don't touch me right now. I'm too holy. I'm too holy. I'm too holy. Don't mess with Jesus. Don't mess with God. He said, don't touch me right now. I'm too holy. I have not gone back to my Father. I don't know what would have happened if she touched that holy body. Lord, she probably went up to. He was so holy. He said, but go tell my brethren to meet me over in Galilee. She took the message. She told them. They didn't believe it. So don't worry about what people believe or not, women. Do what the Lord say do. If you want to go to heaven, women, let me tell you what to do. Do what the Lord say do, because sometimes the men ain't going to believe what you're saying. But as long as you know you've heard from the Master, you have stopped, you looked in this book, and you listened, and he give you a message, take it, because somebody going to believe it one way or the other. They had to find it out for themselves. And this scripture tells me, and when the queen of Sheba heard, she was in a far country, way over in Africa, a part where Ethiopia, that area, she was far away. And the fame of Solomon came up of the way that he operated under God. It wasn't about Solomon, it was about his order before God. And she needed to know something about how to run her kingdom under God. So when she heard the constant connection of the fame of Solomon with the name of the Lord, if he put the scripture there, he might put it up the King James. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible just for a minute. She came to prove him with hard questions. She wanted to know how to operate a kingdom under God. She didn't have that understanding. We don't have the understanding how to walk upright like we should. We got to ask some questions. Now, Solomon at that time was the king. Who's the king now? The Holy Ghost that is in you is the king. He said it himself. He said, Queen of Sheba, the Queen of Sheba went to King Solomon. He was a great man and he answered everything. But a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon is in this building right now. And what you need, he have it because he know what you're struggling with. But look what she did. She was a wise woman. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train. A train with camels bearing spices. She brought gold. She brought stones because she needed great answers. So because she needed great answers, she brought great gifts. You see, you can't stop, look, and listen, and he tell you something to do, and you say, I ain't got no money. I ain't got no time. I ain't got no talent. You can't do that. She brought a train of gifts to Solomon because she needed a great blessing. She needed great understanding because she was running a kingdom. You women have a land. Your home, your family, your children, you have a land to lead. Women, I don't care if it's your sister, if you have children, if your nieces or nephew, you have a land to lead. That is our responsibility from the Lord, is to lead. It says, when she had come to Solomon, she communed with him about all that was in her heart. When you go to God, how you talk to him? What you saying to God? What's in your heart? He don't grab, you know what? God is not particular about what you say, not your mouth. And he don't particularly care about what's up here. The only place he deal with is in your heart. And he told her his heart. And Solomon answered all of her questions. He didn't hide anything because Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, right? And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and skill, the house he had built, the food on the table, the officers, the standing of his attendant, his servants, how he looked, come on, Holy Ghost. How you looking before the King of Kings? She saw how everything in Solomon's house was in order unto God. Come on, people. We are special. We're not just anybody. Their apparels, his cupbearers, his accent by which he went up into the house of the Lord for the burnt offering, the sacrifice. She was breathless and overcome. Are the people around us watching us become awed at your appearance, at your operation, at your speech, at your attitude? Do they become speechless? Because you see, the King of Kings is here. And when you're coming, you're coming to the king. She said to the king, it was a true report I heard in my land. And what you were doing and how your wisdom was, it was true. She said, but you know, I didn't believe it. I heard it, but I didn't believe it. I need to see it. I had to see it. How much do you want to see? We sing the song, if you want to see the glory of the Lord. How much do you want to see the glory of the Lord when you come into this place? I'm sure everybody have their time with the Lord at home. But you know that there are those that come into the house of the Lord have not seen the glory of God. Are you able to change the atmosphere? Or are you sleepy and making everybody else around you sleep? Are you able to change the atmosphere? She became speechless because when she got there, what she heard was not the whole deal. She said, and look here, look. She said, look, Solomon. Half was not told me. When they hear about us, and they come where we are, does it override their expectation? Or are we allowing people to override the expectation when they come in our presence? When they begin to just talk to you about the grace of God, are they
overly and abundantly. They receive more than what you have told them because the Lord has gotten into what you said and expanded. Hallelujah. When you let out a hallelujah, do it ring in somebody else and they want to say hallelujah to you? It's a connection.
Yes.
And what she saw, she said, you have added wisdom and goodness exceeding the fame I heard. He said, that's why I say everybody need to stop and take a good look at yourself. Look within yourself and see who you really are. I was looking at a document yesterday with Mr. Carl Brown, who was supposed to be a renowned baseball player. But he said he got himself mixed up. He was smart. He was a handsome man. As I looked at him, he was a handsome man. And he got to the place where he was trying to go. He had a full scholarship. He was one of the old-time baseball players. He got a full scholarship. And he went to the school and he got, because he was just a freshman, those that were playing football for real saw his potential and they overrode his freshmanness and they added him to the group. And he said, but what messed him up was those qualified baseball players, before they played, they took marijuana. And he said, well, he was kind of shocked, but he said he was in the elite, so he had to start doing the same thing. But he said when he went out there to perform, he couldn't perform like he used to perform. He just thought it was just a myth for a while. And he did it again, and so far he got used to it, and he began to perform well. He began to perform well. But he said after a while, one thing led to another. One thing led to another. From the marijuana, it got laced with the sparkle dust, or whatever that dust was they wrapped it up with, and it made him a little bit more out of it. And from there to cocaine. And he said he performed for a while, but then the thing made him have a bad attitude. And when he didn't want to swing the bat, he told him, I don't want to swing no bat. You see, he was losing it. He said, I begin to do a spiral downhill. So he said one day, after he done got all messed up, he walked out to college, but God blessed him. He's a Christian now. God blessed him to get another full scholarship to another college. And he said he kept with the marijuana. He didn't do the angel dust no more, and he didn't do the cocaine no more, but he said he still did the marijuana. And he said he used to be a strapping, handsome man with built, and everything. He said, but one day, he stopped. He stopped, and he stood before his mirror. And he said, a man he used to be, when he looked in the mirror, he didn't see that man no more. All his promptness and all his nice spread legs had gotten all skinny. And he said he wept and he wept and he wept and he wept. He couldn't stop weeping. Amen. He said he cried and he cried and he cried. But see, that wasn't good enough. He said he got away from the mirror. And he went on down the road again. And he had marijuana in his car because he was going up to the next place where he's supposed to play. He had marijuana on the seat. And he done started smoking cigarettes now. Oh my God, I'm telling you. Stop! He said on the way to the next place, to the college where he's supposed to play, he said all of a sudden, something came over him. He said, I wasn't no Christian. I didn't know how to say, Lord, save me. He was driving and all of a sudden something just overshadowed him and he started crying. He couldn't stop crying. He was crying and he said, all he could say is, help! Help, Lord. He didn't say save me. He said, I don't know about being saved. He said, I said, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me and deliver me, Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said he cried out of that car. And he said all of a sudden, that car was filled with the presence of God. He didn't know what it was at that time. He said all of a sudden, he picked up that bag off of that seat. He said he could have just tossed it out, but he rolled the window down. And he opened it up and let it just fly out in the air. He said he took the cigarettes out and he sling them out the car through the window. And he said he had a peace because he stopped and he looked at himself and he didn't find what he used to be there anymore. It was gone. Now he found the Lord in that car. He said he got so happy. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what it was, but he got so happy. And he said, God took it away. Then he found out it was about being saved. And now he's on the TV telling everybody, stop. Look at yourself. Stop looking at that one and looking at that one and looking at that one. Stop. Look at yourself. Look and see what you look like. See if you're still like it was when you first found the Lord. Do you still have faith like when you first found the Lord? Stop. Do you still believe like you used to believe? Hallelujah. Are you still trusting like you used to trust? Stop. Tell yourself, Lord, my faith not like it used to be. Help. Tell him, Lord, call out for help. And if you're calling out from your heart, he will change your life. He will make you what you ought to be. Now that man, he's looking so good now. He's on the TV and he's telling everybody of what the Lord has done. How the Lord has delivered him. And he's no more the dog. He's back strapping like he used to be. Because the Lord did it. The Lord did it because he stopped. He looked and he listened and he turned around and he went in another direction and he found God. Queen of Sheba stopped. She stopped. She got on her train or whatever she was riding on, Brother Chris. She said, I'm going to see the king. And I can't go empty handed. And I can't be stingy. Because I need some big answers from God. So she took all of, she took everything she could take. But when she left, when she left from King Solomon, she went back to her home with all that she needed. And she was able to run her kingdom like God wanted her to run her kingdom. She said, I see what your God is doing, Solomon. He said, I see why God put you on the throne, because you are being directed by him and everything gonna be all right. Is everything all right for you? Or is there trouble on every side? Yes, there's supposed to be trouble, but we're supposed to have 100-fold. We're supposed to have 100-fold. We're supposed to have 100-fold with our tribulation. Not our tribulation and nothing to go with it. You can't make a sandwich if you don't put something between the bread. Gotta be some butter or some jelly or some cheese. If ain't nothing in the middle, you ain't got no sandwich. You got two slices of bread. If you poor, busted, and disgusted, and can't make ends meet, you are not getting 100-fold. You need to stop. Sit down and look in the mirror and say, God, where am I? Who am I? What am I doing? And what I need to do. But don't ask him if you don't want to listen. Because he's going to tell you, get your life right. Rise up. Stop being a thief. Stop being a liar. Stop being unfaithful. He's going to tell you that if you want to know it. And he said, I'll give you strength. He said, strength for the laborer, the Lord will provide. I'm 71 years old in a few days, and I'm just ready to go. I done had 13 babies, and I'm just ready to go. Because the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and I ain't backing up. I've seen the glory of the Lord. I've seen his promises work out just like he said. He said, I'm not a liar. I'm not a man that I should lie. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. He told you to rejoice. If you can't rejoice, get back to the mirror. This is your mirror. Get this mirror. Look in this book. Look in this book and see where you are. See where your faith is. If it ain't happening, it ain't God's fault. It's your own fault. We got a job, women. We got to stand up. We got to help these men. Because you see what happened to men? They're allowing their own rib to beat them over the head. David allowed his own rib to beat him over the head. God made a woman out of a rib. God took a rib out of Adam's side and made a woman. And how ironic it is that the kings and all these people allowed a rib to beat them over the head and knock them out of place. Being beat down by their own rib. Don't make no sense. All of these people, this man Jesse was so great. His own rib knocked him out of his office. A woman. You shouldn't let women be that powerful over you. We got our place in God to help them up. And that's what a virtuous woman is. Is a virtuous woman helps her husband. And I want you to read it. I'm not going over because I won't even want to do this much time. When you read the 31st chapter of Proverbs, that's not only for married women. That's for women as a whole. Single women and married women. Because that woman, that mother was talking to her son while he was young. Telling him what kind of woman to look for. Not know anybody. A virtuous woman. A chaste woman. A woman that she's single but she's keeping her house clean. Or wherever her room is clean. A woman that cooks. A woman that don't mind if she gotta work, she still come and make sure her husband have food. Or he said, look for that kind of woman. Look what a woman is already working. A woman that is already doing what she should. A woman that is walking upright. A woman that love her husband. She's gonna love her husband. If she love herself, why she's not married? Hallelujah. He's talking about the woman all the time. Say, when you get the husband? When you get the children? You already doing that already. You single and you're doing that. You single and you're cooking and you're washing and you're cleaning. You walking upright. You walking chastity. You walking like a woman should walk. You're doing everything that you would do if you got married. She told her son, don't get them wicked women. Them lazy women. Them dirty women don't know how to clean their house, don't know how to keep themselves looking refined. She told him what to look for. She told him what to look for. Because if you get them not doing like that, don't think you're going to change them. If they're dirty, they're going to still be dirty. If they're lazy, they're going to still be lazy. That woman in that 31 chapter, she is ready to make her husband somebody. It said, don't matter that she work with her hand. It don't matter that she have to stay up late. If she go to work, she don't mind staying up late. But you know that she got, this is her job. That she have food and clothes and a nice thing. They don't care. It said, because her virtue gives her strength. Oh, her virtue make her do it. She don't get upset. She just do it. That's the kind of woman. Stop and look at yourself. Am I a virtuous woman? Am I looking for what I need to look for? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And the Bible said, he that findeth a wife. Meaning that you already got to be acting like a wife before you become a wife. Then you'll be a better wife. You want to have to practice. You want to have to practice how to cook your husband some breakfast. because you've already been cooking breakfast for yourself. You've already been rising up already. You've been doing that all the time. So you're ready now to be a wife. It comes easy. It ain't hard. Because that's what God calls a virtuous woman. If you're not doing that, you're not a virtuous woman. She make her husband look fine. She makes sure he look good. Make sure he put on the best kind of clothes. Make sure his shoes clean. Make sure his clothes high. He don't go out wrinkled. I got a husband right here. Sometimes I had to beat him over the head. I said, you ain't going out this house with that wrinkled up shirt. Take it off. Get it off. You represent God and you represent me. You ain't going out with that wrinkled shirt. That's what you do for your husband. I'm talking to women today. Brother Joe, you got third something. If you get it right, you tell them right. If you ain't got it right, don't tell them nothing. Queen of Sheba, she got it, Sister Jones. She got it and she took it back home. The virtuous woman that God talks about. Ain't nobody trying to tell y'all this. It's in the book. Stop. Look in the book. Listen. And be honest. Get on your knees. God, I'm not no good wife. I ain't no good wife. I ain't cleaning up the house. I ain't getting food on time. Tell God and stop lying. You're not a good wife. You're not. Because this is what God called him to do. This is what God said a virtuous woman was. And when that woman went there, it wasn't about Solomon. It was about the glory of God. And let me tell you something. He will give you women strength to do everything he told you to do. He's not crazy. And he know all about your struggles. And he's going to make it work for you. Even if you got to put the meat out the night before, season up in the morning, and say, husband, it's out. It's seasoned. You get home, put it in the oven. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Hey! Might not like it, but it's what God said. And if you ain't doing it, you just ain't that. That's why a lot of marriages ain't together today. Because I work, you work, I work, I ain't doing nothing. God didn't say that. He said, I gave you a job to do. You do your job, and I'll take care of you. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And he'll make it all right for you. Yes, he will, but pay God. He'll make it all right. He's an all right God. He's an all right God. Ah. So when you read it, all you single women, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies. When you read it, read it and start acting like a wife, and your husband might come next week. Because God know you're ready now. He know you're doing right. He know you will compromise the man. So you know you didn't know that. You didn't know that 31 was for single women. Because she was talking to her young unmarried son. She was telling him what to look for. She was telling him how not to give yourself to them silly women. He said, this is what you look for, Lemuel. And according to the commentary, they said they believed that Lemuel was Solomon that the mama was teaching. But you see, he let them women mess him up. I love y'all. But I love Jesus the most. Because I stopped and I looked and I look at me. I don't look at nobody else's wife. I don't look at no other woman. I look into this woman, this book that tell me how to operate. And he keep me strong. He keep me healthy. He keep me wealthy. And he keep me wise. Don't let the enemy get in your business. stop, look, and listen.
That's right.
Hey. Wake up, sleeping women, wake up. Get up early.
You know you got to be to work at 9 o'clock. Get up 6. Fix some food. Leave your husband a change. You think they don't pay you no attention and all that is because they ain't getting nothing. Nothing from nothing, leave nothing. So that's why some of these men probably ain't looking at y'all. Y'all look like y'all lazy. Look like y'all don't want to do nothing. They ain't going to cook for me. They ain't going to do that. I ain't messing with none of them women. See, I got married real early because I looked like I was doing something. My husband told me, say, you appeal to me because you look smart. I was smart. He think I'm too smart now. But I'm keeping him going. Ain't nowhere for him to go but up. So what I'm going to ask right now. That's all right, Brother Chris. All the ladies, please stand. All the ladies, I want you to come forward. All you ladies, women, ladies, all of y'all come forward. Ask God, when you're asking God, ask God to change my speech, change my thoughts, change my attitude. Change. Stretch it out. Make double lines if you have to, but stretch it out. You got a calling on your life. Y'all have a calling in your life. And let it be seen. Let it be seen, Sister Bay. Let God know you're ready. You're ready. Let God know you're ready. You're ready. Let God know you're ready. You're ready, Kathy. Let it be seen. Let it be seen. Hallelujah. God is so good. Come up like a family. Come up like a family. Come up. Now look. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Look around how many women we got in the church. And look how many men left in the seats. My God and my Master. Okay, now to top the music. I want all the men to line up behind these women. Come up some in this area because I'm going to put the men behind y'all. And I hope that Brother Jones on the third Sunday will let the women pray for the men. All the men. Come on, brother. You ain't got to be a member of this church. If you love Jesus, come on up here. Come on, brother. Roll your chair on up here, brother. God, you ain't crippled in your heart. It's only in your legs. Your heart is strong. All the men to get behind these women. Come on, brother. What is his name? Mackenzie. Hold your stick up and stand up behind it. Hold your stick. We got to get at 1 o'clock. Hold your stick. Let your stick hold you up. Y'all get on behind these women. Stand behind these women. God got a lot more he gave me up there in Tallahassee. He gave me some divine revelation. All I'm going to do is put it out. And who get it. Who own it, will get it. Because he said, I'm trying to do something great here. He said, I got great stuff for y'all. But I got to get y'all in the right position. I got you not standing somewhere, but your heart in the right position. Because he know what every one of y'all need. And so these brothers that line up behind y'all, I just want the women to bow their heads in reverence to the Holy Spirit. And I want you all men just to pray together, just to pray a prayer of divine order over these women. That God would position them like they ought to be positioned because they are so important. These are your ribs. We are your ribs. And that makes a difference. And he's the only one that can put a rib in the right side. So it won't cause a problem. So I want you all men just to pray. Don't have to be a long prayer. Pray for these women want you all to bow your head. You know what bow? Put your head down. Bow your head in humble reverence to the Lord. And let him, as they pray for you all. Go ahead, men, pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise your name. Praise your name. Yes, Lord, do it again. One more time, Lord. One more time, Lord. One more time, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do it again, Lord.